Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and very thankful for the hope that we have in the Lord. I know there are times that without the Lord, life is very dark. But because of hope in the Lord, we can still have something to hold on to, with knowing that something is better up ahead of us because of God. Desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we pick back up with the series that we'd been preaching on for about 6 weeks. I'm very interested in us building our lives on a foundation that will stand the test of time. Something that will endure the changes of reformations, of congregations, of ministries, of grandma and grandpas. I'm interested in something that is going to be steadfast and unchangeable, because people change, standards change, convictions change, but there is something that does not change, and that is what I'm interested in building my life upon. There is a place that we must have convictions. We must have standards, and that's for further down in this series. We're not there yet. But we are interested in something that will take us successfully to the judgment. And there is only one God. There's only one faith. There's only one body, which means that there is only one way to get to heaven. And that's what I'm interested in knowing this morning. And it is a narrow way, but it is based on truth. Because truth is something that is not based upon opinion. It's not based upon family. It's not based upon church reformation. It is based on Jesus Christ and on the Word of God and the Scripture alone. Because God is the only means to salvation. It's our only means. So just to give a little brief preview this morning, since the last couple of Sundays before I left, we were off series. We started in the series talking about, on foundation of truth, that Jesus Christ is the foundation of truth. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God. And Jesus, remember, is the Word. When people say we need to base our life in the Word, Jesus is the Word of God. And then God gave us the Scripture, which is a written expression of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, not this book. Because I can burn this book and the Word of God still exists. So Christ is the Word. The Scripture is an expression of the Word of God. And then we looked at the need for the whole truth. Not picking and choosing what we wanted. But when we consider the foundation of truth, we need the whole truth. And then we concluded the last service in this series was on a balanced truth. Not getting off kilter. Not re-emphasizing too much one thing and not something else. But the Lord wants us to be a balanced people with a balanced truth. So this morning, by the help of the Lord, we would like to look at one of the most fundamental aspects of foundation of truth, and that is on the subject of love. The Lord gave me a message in Kenya entitled, Back to the Basics. You know, without the basics, we're going to get in trouble this morning, because we can have our heads and our minds filled with history. We can have our minds and hearts filled with reformation. We can have our hearts and minds full of prophecy and doctrine. But if we neglect the foundation of love, all those other things are going to be in vain. Now, this is simple this morning, and yet it is one of the most important things that we can get hold of. When we consider doctrines and standards and convictions, there is an overriding theme in the Scripture, and that is the necessity of love. And love is paramount. It is paramount. to every New Testament doctrine. So if you will turn with me to the book of 1 John in the 4th chapter. 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another." How are we doing? My Uncle Chuck preached. His ministry was based on a message of love. So he was the pastor at Guthrie for many years, and normally speaking, it came back to this issue of love. Someone asked him one time, they said, "Well, when are you going to preach another message?" And he said, "I guess when everybody gets it and the Lord gives me something else." This is fundamental. Beloved, let us love one another. How are we doing this morning? How is your love for your brother, for your sister? How is the love in your home this morning? We can have all church doctrines and Bible doctrines, but if we do not have love one for another, all of the other doctrines and understanding is in vain. In other settings, I would about ask for an amen right here. Is this true? We can have all doctrine. We can have all prophecy. But if I can't get along with my wife, what good is my doctrine doing me? If I can't get along with my brother, I can understand all prophecy. And I can give instruction and messages and teaching. And I can. And I do. And Daniel and in Revelation. But if I cannot walk in unity with my brother, what good is that prophecy? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not... Now, John has a lot of black and whites in it. Sometimes people like just the scriptures that kind of leave a lot of room, and you can kind of take it one way or the other. 1 John is full of some very declarative statements. He said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is what? For God is love." God is not just the essence of love. He is love. God is love. So in our call to follow Christ this morning and to know how to build our lives and how to live, we believe in holiness and we believe in righteousness. Because without it, no man shall see God. But the foundation of righteous living is love. I'm going to say that again. The foundation of righteous and holy living is love. If we do not have the love of God in our heart, holy living and righteousness will become a form of godliness. It will become about following the rules of the church, and there is nothing inside that's based on love that's motivating. It is about doing things to fit into the body. It is about doing things to be acceptable and considered a, if you will, a saint of God in good standing. Following good teachings from the Word of God is in vain if it is not motivated from a heart of love for God. If it's not motivated from love, what is it motivated by? Motivated by the desire to fit in, motivated for acceptance, motivated because if I don't do this, then these are the negative consequences. It is love that brings joy to our service to the Lord. It is love that makes New Testament doctrine, because there are things in the New Testament that say do this and don't do that. There are things like that in the New Testament. It's not just the Mosaic Law. But the law of itself, even the law of the New Testament, will gender bondage to us if not motivated by the love of God. And so love is the foundation. So when they came to Jesus, a lawyer came to Jesus, and it's found in Matthew in the 22nd chapter. In the 36th verse, he said, Master, he said, what is the great commandment? See, we're talking about foundation of truth here in the new covenant. He came to Jesus and he said, good master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, and he still says today, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus proceeded to say something else. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. I believe this morning that we also can hang all of the New Testament doctrines and teachings on those two precepts as well. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Is that complicated? It's not complicated to understand. Is it hard to do? You see, sometimes we struggle with wanting to understand Scripture. What about this, and what does this mean? And we talk about the church, and where is the church headed? What is our identity as a people? And I have some burdens along those lines. But saints, if we don't love God with all of our heart, everything else is in vain. It's in vain. It's not going to count for anything at the judgment if we're not living based on a love relationship with God. And if we cannot love our brother, our neighbor, you see, it's not just loving our friend. Jesus said, love your enemies. I mean, the publicans and the Pharisees, rather. The scribes and the Pharisees love people that treat them good. Jesus said, love your enemy. Treat those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Do good for them. If your enemy hunger, give them something to eat. Don't say, well, it looks like the judgment of God is coming on you, brother. You made a mess. Now you're going to have to deal with it. He said, no, if someone doesn't treat you right and they get in trouble, you go show them love. Yes, but we have the doctrine of the church of God. And when I say doctrine of the church of God, let me dispel something that I'm really tired of hearing. Well, yeah, that's the church, but I'm interested. By definition, the doctrine of the church of God is the Bible doctrine. It's one and the same. If we are teaching something among us that is not based on a foundation of truth, we need to acknowledge it. We need to say, yes, that is a standard that is personal, but it is not taught in the Word. We need to be clear about that. But when we talk about Church of God doctrine, I am not talking about what a group of ministers have done. I'm not talking about a reformation. I'm talking about what God gave to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the written Scripture that shows us how we are to live our lives. That will stand the test of time. So if we do not have the love of God, you see, the Jews were divided. And they apparently they were reported and wanted to divide the Mosaic law into greater importance and lesser importance. Okay? So what's more important, this law or that law? So when the lawyer came to Jesus, he was tempting him. It's like, what do you say, Master? What's most important? What is the great commandment? And Jesus answered it. You know, some in the Christian world have done the same thing today. They have tried to say, well, this doctrine is more important. And Jesus, in his answer, gave us the sum of the law and the prophets. And the sum in this new covenant time as well is the same. Love God with all of your heart. You say, but what about this doctrine? What about that? Do you love God with all your heart? You see, all means supremely. I'm putting God first in my life. Loving Him with all of our heart is totality. So, do you love God with the totality of your heart? all of my affection, God's number one? Or is it your way? Is it the things of the flesh? Is it the things of the world? See, the scripture says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not what? It's not in us. See, this is foundation of truth this morning. If I love the world and I'm following after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not only adultery and fornication, the lust of the flesh, it's a lust, it's a pride of life. Seeking after honor and recognition and education to be elevated in my mind and the glory of this world. If I'm putting those things above my walk with God, the scripture says the love of the Father is not in us. So where is our love this morning? Love Him with your life, your service, your intellect, your strength, and your labor. There is a great war that's going on. The enemy is vying for our affections this morning. He's vying for our love. And the scripture says that no man can serve two masters. So have you declared who you're following this morning? Have you declared your master? You may not understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, but this is the foundation of the new covenant truth of what it means to follow Jesus, and that is to love God with all of your heart. If any man come to me, Jesus said in the 14th chapter of Luke, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and by there it doesn't mean hate like the word we use, it means love less. Means love less. It means, do you love God more than your family? Do you love God more than everything else in your life? He said, if you don't hate them or love them less, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty straight language. If you love your job more than you love God, you can't be my disciple. You love your wife more than you love God, you can't be my disciple. You love the things of the flesh more than you love me. And how do we know where our heart is this morning? Because see, the heart is the center, is it not, of our love or of our affection? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said. So would it be fair as we assess our lives this morning to assess where our treasure is? What's dictating your decisions of life? What's dictating where you work, what you work, your relationships with people, your doctrinal beliefs, where you go, how you talk, how you dress, all of the things that encompass daily living? What is guiding and shaping your decisions? If it's not the love of God this morning, we have missed the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we can have all these other good things, biblical things in our life, but if we miss the essence of love, we have nothing. It means that we must be willing. It said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Yes, there's a cross. There's a price to pay. But when you love someone, are you not willing to sacrifice for them? When you love someone, you think about a young man and a young woman, and I know there are different stories that could be told here this morning. The miles traveled, the sacrifices, because I want to see this individual. Are we sacrificing to be with Christ? Are we maintaining that zeal and passion of love? If we lose our zeal and our passion of love this morning, we are left with a form of godliness. and we can have a good godly heritage. We can talk about how the reformation of the past, and we can make ourselves feel better and cover ourselves with the security blanket that we are not like the world. But folks, if we do not have a passionate love personally for God, we have an empty shell. And the congregation might go on, and we will still pray and sing and maybe dress a certain way and not do certain things and not go certain places. And the Father's looking down on us saying, you have nothing, because you lost the most important thing, which is your love for me. How is your love this morning? You know, without love for God, it becomes very difficult to try to be obedient to the Scripture, because it becomes bondage to us. Well, I have to do this. No, you don't. Now, if you're in your parents' home, you young folks, you do what your parents tell you to do. Young people and children, please don't give your parents problems. Don't be rebellious. Don't make them stay awake at night crying for you and praying for you. You submit to your parents. One day you can have a home of your own and you can do what you want. But when you are in your parents' home, you be respectful of them and you be the young person that you want your children to be for you. Well, that's a little side note. But the point is this. Individually, we all have decisions to make. We have choices to make. And I am not coming to your house lining you out. You all know that. Maybe some of you want me to. If you do, you can ask me. But I'll still point you to the Word of God. I'll still point you to the Word. But doing something to please the pastor or the group will become, the question will be, am I doing it to please him or the body? Rather than saying, Lord, I want to please you with my life. I want to please you. God is not going to force us. But when we do things out of love, it brings joy. There are things I might do to my wife or my wife that maybe would not be my first choice. But because I love her, I choose to do that. And you know, the end result is it makes me happy. Because I want her to be happy. Because it pleases me. It pleases me to try to be fulfilling for her. So that makes the sacrifice of love a blessing, not a bondage. So our service to God is not meant to be bondage this morning. When it becomes bondage, okay. This is maybe a young people's term. I don't know. But I want to be real with you this morning. When people say, well, the church, you can't do this. And you can't go here. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Who's forcing you to do differently? This is voluntary service to God this morning. This is voluntary service to God. Now, again, young people, we're not taking away from what your parents require of you. But now I'm talking about as a people. Don't blame the church for why you can't do something. You want to do it? Do it. Don't blame us. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the ministry. You want to live after the world? It's wrong, but you can live after the world. But when it becomes bondage and you say, well, if you're going to be in the church of God, you can't do this. Wait a minute. What is the church of God? The church of God, by definition, are those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus and are building their lives on a foundation of truth, which this morning we are seeing the foundation is one of love. So if you're living based on, well, that group of people, I'm going to go find another group of people where I can do what I want. You can do what you want right here this morning. No one's forcing you, you understand? No one's forcing us, but it is the motivation of love that brings joy to our service of God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek what? Those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That's decision. Love is not only feeling and emotion, it is decision. Lord, I choose to serve you. That love is so much more than, well, a feeling. Because, you know, this morning you might have woke up and you might say, I'm just not feeling it. Well, what does that have to do with it? I still love the Lord and I'm going to be faithful to him because I made a decision and a purpose of heart that, Lord, I'm going to follow you. So if we love the Lord, Jesus said we would keep his words. That's the foundation of obedience. Is not bondage, is not force. But the foundation of obedience is the love of God. And if we do things based on love, it is not bondage. So why do you do what you do this morning? Is that a fair question? Why do you do what you do? Now, children, young people, yes, there's a time you say, well, my parents won't let me. That works. I hope you're doing what your parents, if they're telling you right. But there's going to come a time when that's not going to be good enough. I can't stand here and tell you this morning, well, my dad and mom won't let me do. I can do what I want. You can too, most. Why do we do what we do? This is the foundation of truth this morning. I do what I do because I love God. I do what I do because I have a relationship with the Lord that I want to guard that relationship. And without love, everything else is going to begin to crack and fall down around us. And second, Jesus said, is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. I think it's noteworthy in the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, which probably many of us could recite by heart this morning. Before the 13th chapter, there is a 12th chapter. And at the end of the 12th chapter, Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Do you want the gift of prophecy? The gift of healing? The gift of being an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist? Do you want the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles? We say, wow, we'd like to see more of that operating in the church. But Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There is something more powerful than the gift of prophecy. There is something more powerful than the gift of miracles. And what is it? You keep reading in the 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I speak with eloquence. You know, the tongue of angels, sometimes people say, what's that? What language did the angels speak when they came to earth? You ever think about that? They spake the language of those they were talking to. That's the language they spoke. Their grammar might have been right, and it was fluent, and it was eloquent. But though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, it what? It profits me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned, and I sacrifice myself. People say, oh, look at the sacrifice. But if I have not charity, what good is it? So, what doctrine is most important to you this morning? For some people, it is some might say, well, it's modesty. If saints, if you just dress modestly, they can, if you dress modestly, then you are a saint in good standing. Have you ever kind of got that idea from people? It's all based on how you look. You know what? If you don't love your brother and forgive them, and get along with them, you can be as modest as you want, and you will not make it to heaven. It's not taking down the importance of modesty, but it is elevating love. I say, Lord, help us as a people this morning. For some, it's their personal faith and their health care decisions. I trust the Lord. And I don't do this and I don't do that. And they can gossip and they can talk negatively to people and not get along with people, but I'm trusting the Lord. Your trust is worth nothing. You say, Brother Michael, that's kind of strong. Yeah, it really is. It profits us nothing if I cannot love my brother. Faith, modesty, the doctrine of the kingdom, that all the prophecies, all of the scripture, all of this stuff, he said, it's not going to profit us anything. Do we still believe that this morning? So Lord, help me in how I talk about people. Lord, help me to recognize that yes, I want to trust, and yes, I want to dress modestly, and yes, I want to be, but nothing compares to the love that is to exist in our hearts for our fellow man. And if I am undermining and I'm gossiping and I'm talking negatively and I'm talking harshly and I can't get along with my brother and my sister, and please don't come in at the wrong time to my home when my wife and I have a disagreement, what good is the doctrine? What good is our understanding? Though I have all prophecy and understand all knowledge and yet have not charity, Paul said, it profits us nothing. So the foundation of a Christian experience is something very simple this morning. It is about love. Love God. Love your neighbor. And that love starts at home. We say, well, what does that mean? You can read it for homework if you want. You can read it for home blessing. How's that? Does that sound better than homework? You can read it for home blessing, but love is kind. But I dress modestly. I'm using modesty not to undermine it, but it's something visible. That's the reason I'm saying that. But I'm not going over here when I'm saying I'm not doing this. But if you're not kind, what's most important? Love is kind, it's long-suffering, it's not proud, it's not boastful, it's not contentious. Love demonstrates Christ more than something external any day. Jesus said that himself, did he not? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If what? If you believe in Holy Spirit leadership? If when you're sick you do this or don't do that? Or if you wear this and don't wear that? Is that what Jesus said? No, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if what? If you have love one to another. Well, there's so much more. But where's this start? Where are we to live this out, folks? At home. At home. If we can't get along with people in our own household, what good is our other scriptural understanding? This is where it starts. At home, at work, in the congregation, that, Lord, I want to love you and I want to love those around me. So the next time someone cuts you off on the road, the next time someone in the congregation does something that's very hurtful to you, and it will happen. It will happen. You go to camp meeting and you have, I told Renee this morning, I said, there are about three people in my life that have been a thorn in my flesh. But you know what's most important? Is how I treat them. I can't afford to treat them with anything less than love and forgiveness and long-suffering and hope for the best for them. Because I don't want to lose my soul. Love is more important than anything else this morning. And so then, now abideth faith, hope. Faith is wonderful. And without hope, where would we be? But now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest, he was not undermining faith or hope, but he said, but the greatest is charity. So I would ask us individually, and I know I've gone a little long this morning, but how are we doing this morning? See, it's not all about preaching. I'd just rather just ask you, come down here. I mean, we want to be real, right? We came to service to get closer to God, right? How is our love? How is it? You say, but I understand all this. What good does your understanding do if we don't have love for one another? I want to love more. I want this to be my foundation this morning, because if without charity, everything else is going to be in vain. So, and in our families, how are we doing? We try to teach our children. We try to teach our young people. This is what the Bible teaches. And this is the doctrine. And this is how we're to act. But if we lose love out of it, what have we given our children? In the congregation, people can come among us and they can see people that are separate from the world. And they can see these standards all being kept. Well and good. But if they see us not getting along with each other, and they see us not able to cooperate, be hard to work with, what good is this doing? And so Jesus said it's all based on love. May the Lord bless us individually and as a people, that we would base our life on this foundation this morning. Amen.